You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, I kid you not. I am not kidding at all when I say this. I woke up with a sore foot, and I can't help but feel like running that victory lap without stretching properly and going through all of those steps. I kind of feel like I might have hurt myself running a victory lap last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that the Lakers beat the Cavs probably had you wilding a little bit, and then that it was Julius Randle, who you have stand for as hard as I've ever seen you go for any player this season, leading the way, probably led to, you know, like a little bit extra running from you. And you just got to remember, you're getting older. You can't do this anymore. Your body's not the same as it used to be.
I wish I was kidding. Like, this is the sad thing, is that, like, I've been kind of like hobbling around all day on my right foot. It's hurting for no real apparent reason. You know who isn't hurting for no real apparent reason? Our Lakers.
I was going to say, like, do you actually want me to answer? I have no idea who you mean. But no. Yeah, the Lakers. Well, actually, the Lakers are kind of hurting.
Because it's not for no real.
Brandon Ingram's groin.
Yeah. Well, what I meant, though, is, like, it's not for no real reason. We know why those guys are hurting. But despite those guys being out, the Lakers are playing good basketball. And such good basketball that Lakers Twitter and people on Twitter are kind of wondering about whether the Lakers might be able to finish 500. They sit right now at 30-36. They would have to go 11-5 to attain that goal. You're a little this is going to shock the world, but you're dubious of that. I also am not positive that they can do it. It would be quite the accomplishment, but I can try to make the case for it, and that's what we're going to do. That's what today's show is going to be about. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at I am finally back from the dead.
Are you ever going to give people my real handle? Again?
That's not your real handle?
At HM Fagan, F-A-I-G-E-N. Please follow me on Twitter so that I can continue to have more followers than Anthony.
It is at I am Fagan my own death. I love laughing at my own jokes. And I am at Anthony Irwin LA. Let's go ahead and get into Harrison, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, good. All right, so let's go ahead.
I considered hanging up, but then you just call me back anyway, so it's just a waste of all of our time.
Yeah, and then I'd have to, like, then you'd have to do more editing.
Yeah.
All right, so before we get into any deeper level of this conversation, the number one reason why I don't think, or why those who are dubious of the Lakers not being able to finish the season at 41-41.
Because of LeVar Ball?
Yes. Unless LeVar goes out there and says that the team has quit on Luke, right? Then
you should go out there and say they've quit on Magic. They'll start winning two games each game.
Exactly. But they're just listen to their upcoming schedule. You ready?
No, I'm probably not. From the noises you made when you were looking at this before we went on the air.
It's a little concerning, okay? For the rest of the season, the Lakers play three games against teams that will not be in the playoffs, just flat out will not be in the playoffs. They play Memphis, they play Sacramento, and they play Dallas. Aside from that...
Is Memphis on the road?
Yes, it is at Memphis.
Because I feel like the Lakers always weirdly struggle in Memphis.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like the their games
like even
against
when
Orlando
they've been way better than the Grizzlies, I feel like they've lost a disproportionate amount of games in Memphis. I don't have any numbers on this. This
Memphis
is just like
is
my
like,
memory.
Memphis is like catastrophically bad, though. So
yeah.
But the reason I was bringing that up is that the Lakers play, like we said, 16 more games, right, for the rest of the season. And of those 16 games, only 3 games are against non-playoff teams, just flat teams that will not be in the playoffs. Other than that, let's just look at the next few games that they have. They play Denver, a team that has already beaten them twice and is desperate to get into the playoff hunt. They play Golden State, who is still Golden State. They play Miami. They play Indiana. They play New Orleans. And then it's the Memphis game. And then they play Detroit. And then it's the Dallas game. And then Milwaukee. And then it's the Sacramento game. And then they finish their season at Utah versus San Antonio versus Minnesota versus Utah versus at home again against Houston. And then they finish up their season, quote-unquote, on the road against the Clippers. That is okay. Not easy.
I mean, the other thing that you do have to keep in mind with the playoff teams down the stretch is that some of those teams, there is a potential they'll be resting guys, like if they get locked into their seed.
Well, it depends. Like, so maybe Golden State, though I don't know why Golden State would do that. I mean, it looks like maybe Steph might not be back for the Wednesday game. So that would certainly help the Lakers. But like San Antonio, Minnesota, Utah, and only Houston, I would say, is going to be resting people on that in that the second to last game that the Lakers play this year. Aside from that, it's a whole bunch of teams that are either vying for playoff position or vying to get into the playoffs at all, right? I mean, Utah, San Antonio, the Clippers, Minnesota.
I don't think those teams will be resting guys. There is a chance that Houston or Golden State will be resting guys.
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, like I said, they play Golden State. They only play Golden State one more time, and it's this upcoming week. So it's not like, you know, that's not really going to be something that
due to beat Golden State one more time, though. I feel like they always do it randomly in March. So
it would be fun. I mean, they've been playing. That's the other thing, too. And here's where – so we gave the reason – the number one reason why it probably won't happen. But I do have a number one reason why I think it can happen, and I'll give that to you guys here in a second. But before we get to that, it's time to talk to you about the boatload of money you can make this week betting at MyBookie. If you haven't checked them out, this is a perfect time to get into the action. The madness of March is here. Lay down some money and score big on college hoops. Harrison, you are currently attending Cal State Fullerton. I am a proud Cal State Fullerton alum. My wife, also proud Cal State Fullerton alum. The Titans of Cal State Fullerton are currently their line or what you could their odds on winning the whole thing are only 35,000.
I would never ever bet ever on a team that I've covered ever.
Uh-huh.
But those are pretty good odds.
Yeah, I mean, you bet $1, you win $350. I mean, that's pretty tough to beat.
Hashtag tusks up.
It's way better than Bitcoin. Join me and thousands of online players and start betting at mybookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of getting the run around when you ask for your payout? Come join MyBookie today. I would only recommend a service that's been good to me and our listeners. That's why I urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay, fast and without any hassles. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. They even have in-game live betting, so you can bet. You can even place a bet after tip. So when Cal State Fullerton is winning by 50 points.
Yeah, I was going to say, they go on a 20-0 run to start the game. You can still jump in and get some odds on them winning.
Yeah, that's how every game is going to go. And we're gonna...
Or blowing the lead, as you know, teams that I cover or want to do.
Join now, and MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. You can even enter for a chance to win their $1 million bracket challenge. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA, one word, LOCKEDONNBA, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today. Play, win, and get paid.
Especially if you bet on Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah. If Harrison and I go off the air just randomly and we just never return, it's because I wagered everything that I have and Cal State Fullerton won the tournament.
Yeah, who's even on Purdue? Purdue, more like Purdue don't.
Exactly. I'm not going to give Purdue their due.
Anthony bribed me with half of his future winnings if I made that pun on the air.
Turns out Harrison isn't that tough to buy. Isn't that tough to buy. All right, so let's go ahead and get back to this. I had said that, you know, we have already given the Lakers' remaining schedule, and we had gotten into why that would probably prevent them from winning the needed 11 games to finish 500. But the Lakers are inarguably better than their record indicates, right? I mean, their record right now is being held back by that 9-game losing streak when Lonzo had gotten hurt and Tyler Ennis was starting basketball games in the National Basketball Association. So, Harrison, you don't think, obviously, that they can finish 500, but how close do you think they can get after hearing their schedule and the first part of my stance that, you know, I think the Lakers might be able to surprise some people down the stretch here?
Should I give my real answer here? Because I feel like if I give my real answer and it ends up being wrong and they do worse, people are going to say that I jinx them again and then cyberbully me.
Fortunately, nobody listens to you when you're on the podcast. So you,
that's true.
You can get away with it.
So I think that they can go probably like 8-8.
Okay. You know,
that's
why?
Like the most optimistic I've been about them all season. But yeah. I'm starting to buy in. This team, I just have to admit it, this team is a lot better than I thought they'd be. And, you know, I think regardless, it's big that right now they're like outside of the bottom 20. They're outside of the worst 10 teams in the league. That's huge progress in 1 year to have jumped out of the bottom 10 after being like the second worst team in basketball last year.
I want to agree with you first and foremost because 38 wins is kind of the number that I've pegged for where I want the Lakers to finish up this year.
But you're going to disagree just because I said it.
No. I actually think they might be able to do better than that. Like, I actually think that
your attempts to endear yourselves to our listeners over me do not continue to be endearing to me. I don't know if it's actually working on the listeners. Seems like everybody still likes me better, despite like blatantly causing a Lakers loss last week. But it's cute that you keep trying.
Hey, I'm scoring points. The other day I said something on Twitter and I didn't get a single FU back as a response. It might be because I have a ton of people muted at this point.
I was going to say, yeah, I just call that a Tuesday.
but all right. So I, you know, we got into the schedule and I mentioned that the Lakers don't have very many just like hardline win type games, right? But are the Lakers better than Miami? I would probably say so right now. Are the Lakers better than Indiana? They're at least as good. Are they better than New Orleans?
At least as good. Isn't Indiana like the third seed in the East?
Yeah, but the East is terrible.
Okay, but still, come on, man. That's like blasphemous.
No, the Lakers right now are playing good enough basketball to be right there.
Okay, I guess they are better than their record. Actually, Indiana's 39-28. I'm looking at their record right now. I mean, that's still 9 games better than the Lakers, but they do get to play more East teams. I still think that it's a little crazy to say that the Lakers are better than them. I think that you could say lately they've been playing on par.
Okay, fine. We're getting into semantics, but
I just like to argue with you.
I would say that the Lakers are at least
although
as
for what
good,
it's worth, Lakers better net rating over the last 10 games than Indiana.
See? Better than Indiana.
I just proved your point that you couldn't prove.
Thank you. Well, I don't like numbers. Data makes me feel dated. so if I had a gun to your head and I had to ask you who's the better team right now, New Orleans or the Lakers, which way would you go?
New Orleans, because of the way Davis is playing.
Yeah, although I think he's kind of hobbled, right? He just sprained his ankle. So
he's like the Terminator, man. Until he's dead, he's not dead.
That's a fair point. The Lakers are inarguably better than Detroit. They are inarguably better than Dallas. I would say that the Lakers are on par with Milwaukee. They are inarguably better than Sacramento. Utah is playing really good basketball right now, and so long as Gobert and Favors are both healthy at the same time, they're a really tough team to beat. So I wouldn't say that the Lakers are playing better than them. The Lakers are playing better than San Antonio, evidenced by the time that they beat San Antonio recently. I would say that the Lakers are playing better basketball than Minnesota since Jimmy Butler has gone down. And then they play Utah one more time, and Houston might be resting people, and I think the Lakers are at least as good as the Clippers. I don't know, man. Like, I don't see very many games on the schedule here outside of Wednesday, which is on the backside of a back-to-back against or at Golden State.
That's rough. I mean, the Lakers have pulled out some unexpected ones this year. But, I mean, at least they're at home against the Nuggets, so they aren't playing in the Mile High air the night before.
Yeah.
But still, that's a rough one.
And so, and they aren't changing time zones to go up to Golden State. So that kind of helps a little bit, too. But again, you're talking about Golden State, which is ridiculously talented team, on the second night of a back-to-back. But outside of that, so just like the point I made earlier, that the Lakers don't have a ton of, okay, yeah, that's a win type games, but they also don't have a ton of, okay, yeah, that's a loss type games either, right?
And so it's almost like they could go 500 and maybe you're the one arguing semantics.
Well, no, because I would say that they have more, okay, yeah, that's a win type games than they have, okay, yeah, that's a loss type games, which would make me think that they could finish slightly above 500 over the stretch. Maybe not 11-5 type of finish, but could they go?
If you say 10-6 after all of this, I'm going to strangle you.
No, I think they could go. What is it? 9-7.
9-7. So one game better than,
yeah,
I said.
Nine and all of this for one game better. Hey, you were the one who I said last on a show last week, I was ready to strangle you because I said the Lakers might be, if they just brought this core back and went into next season, that they could be a 40-win team, and you said 38 or 39. That's way more ridiculous than what
that's
I'm
true.
Saying
I just
right
like
now.
To, I think we just like to argue with each other. My reasons for why they're going to do the same thing are better than yours.
Man, I don't this show, it's a good thing we don't record in person, because there have been, I would say, about five times this year that one either you or I would have liked.
We would have slapped each other at some point.
Yeah. All right, so what is your we talked about schedule on both sides of the conversation, but what is the number one reason why you would say that the Lakers are incapable of finishing at 41-41 this year?
I think it's just that it's, you mentioned the 9-game losing streak. I think it's just little lapses like that. I think they just had points in this. There was the 3-game losing streak heading into the All-Star break. There were just too many times where they totally dropped the ball for a stretch of games, I think, which is what's ultimately going to end up having held them back from that. But they're a young team, and young teams do that. And so that gives me more faith for the future, because we've seen when they're locked in and they're ready to play that they can play at the level of a 500 team and at the level of a playoff team. And it's why you have like Luke Walton even saying that he's going to be disappointed next season if they aren't in the playoffs, because he feels like they're at the point now where they're good enough to get there next year. And they have too much ground to make up when they were screwing up earlier, but we've seen a lot of legitimate growth from these young guys. And as we've seen with Brandon Ingram, that these rookies are only going to be better most likely in year two. And so if those guys are improved, if the Lakers get, you know, just a couple contributors in free agency, and Ingram takes another leap, and, you know, either they bring back Randall or they sign a guy who's on par or better, you know, I think there's very real reason to have optimism that the Lakers will be a playoff team next year. I just, they messed up too much early for them to get there this year.
So we have one more segment to go, and we started the conversation last night about Julius Randle and about how well he played, obviously, in the game against Cleveland, and how well he's played all year, right? He's made a very resounding case for himself as to why either the Lakers should make sure that they bring him back, or a team out there in the free agent market should try to pay him. Here in a second, Harrison and I are going to get into one, reasons why we think Julius Randle will remain a Laker, two, how he can remain a Laker, and three, what size jersey I am, so that when he remains a Laker, I'll buy that jersey. So Julius Randle is heading into restricted free agency, and the number one reason why I would say Julius Randle is probably going to remain a Laker, or the market on Julius Randle is going to be tougher than people necessarily think it's going to be, is because restricted free agency over the last few years has been brutal for guys who are hoping to get paid.
And yeah, and there's less cap space than ever.
Right. And so, like, Nerlens Noel took his qualifying offer last year, and I think there was another case of another player taking his qualifying offer, right? I'm blanking on the guy it was, but it's been a tough go for restricted free agents, and it's for a pretty simple reason. Why would a team, especially this year, why would a team use up their cap space on a guy who they might not even get in the first place? and now you're committing 3 days of cap space to a guy who you might not get. And meanwhile, while you're waiting on a decision either from the team that has no reason to rush, you might be missing out on other potential targets. And I think that's
what you could have gotten with that same space.
Right. And so where I think, you know, people have
no player is going to wait around for your restricted free agency gamble to like pan out if another team is offering them money.
Right. Right. Like Paul George is going to somehow say to the Lakers, I know, you know, I'd like to get this done really quickly. And the Lakers go back to him and say, well, we'd like to see what happens with Julius Randle's market.
You know, we just want to see what the market is for Randle if we can bring in all three of you, you know.
Yeah. So I don't think I see that happening. And the other thing too here with Dallas, and it's a bummer because you never really want to, you know, come off as if you're taking advantage of another player's injury, but Wesley Matthews, they found today, has a stress fracture that's going to keep him out for the rest of the year. He has a player option for $18.6 million next year. I would probably wager a guess is to say that he takes that, he re-ups on that option for himself and keeps that $18 million in his back pocket. And that really hurts Dallas's chances of trying to acquire Julius Randle. And, you know, Dallas is seen as the team that is most likely to procure Randle from the Lakers. And I didn't see it before the Wesley Matthews news today, and I definitely don't see it now.
Yeah, and there have been so many. The other thing, too, is reporters, they don't always report things that they're hearing because it's not reliable enough, but there have been so many plugged-in people talking about Dallas as like, oh, that's I could see Julius Randle ending up there, that it makes me think that there's like some unreliable but still, you know, somewhat plugged-in whispers behind the scenes that Dallas is going to be interested in him.
Right, and yet the news today makes that really tough for them to do. Like,
yeah.
They would have to renounce McDermott in order to do it, and they would have had to hope that Wesley Matthews opted out of his player option. And I don't see either of those things happening.
And so the reason I make that point is because, like, you know, if they can't do that, then it is hard to see the team that gives Randle his money
right.
that he wants.
And you know, the defense of, you know, because anytime I can't help
I know
myself.
You've said a bunch of times on this podcast that you're tired of kicking things down the road, but would you be okay with giving Randle like a big 1 year deal?
Oh, I guess sure. Doesn't really do them any good, but
I guess if they don't want to give him the long term money because they want to re-enter free agency next summer and he can't get the long term money, then maybe not like maybe it wouldn't be a huge long term deal, but or 1 year deal. Maybe it would be like a mediocre 1 year deal, but bigger than the qualifying offer.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I would hope that Randle gets more than the qualifying offer, simply for no other reason than he worked his tail off, and I think he should be rewarded for it. If I had to say like a short term deal for Randle, I think what works in everybody's best interest is if he takes a 2 year deal, and comes off of, you know, he becomes an unrestricted free agent at the same time that Luol Deng and Evan Turner and what's this, Chandler Parsons, like all of those terrible contracts that went out in the summer of 2016, those all end, and Randle has the opportunity to cash in on the hard work that he put in. Because and really, like, people think, you know, Randle, I think right now is what, 23, 24? I think he's 23. And like, this is not a finished product. He can still get a lot better. He's being as efficient as all hell right now without being able to shoot threes, and his improvement at the free throw line would indicate.
I don't know if the 3-point thing is ever coming, though.
I don't think
we've heard too much about, oh, he's worked on it this summer, he's worked on it this summer, and then just not seen it. That I don't think the 3-point thing's coming for him.
I think I think you're talking about Nance and not Randle.
No, it was Randle too. It's always been Randle. Even at the end of his first year, when he was a rookie and he missed the whole season, I remember people going crazy one night because somebody got video of him like cashing threes during warmups before he had come back. Obviously, like he didn't come back during his rookie year, but he was out there shooting around, and people were like, "Oh man, if he comes back with a three next year, it's over." And then every summer we've seen video of him hitting threes. No, it hasn't been the same way that it's been talked up with Nance, but it has been talked about. And I just don't think it's coming. I think if that was going to happen, it would have happened by now.
I think that the big difference here is Randle's improvement at the free throw line. Larry Nance Jr. has never improved at the free throw line. His shooting, that to me is where shooting starts.
Anthony, he's gone. You can stop hating on Larry now. It's okay.
I mean, if he just stopped and signed a damn autograph, I wouldn't hate him so much.
But, oh, my God.
but really, though, Julius Randle has improved at the free throw line. I'm trying to pull it up right now as I speak. But Julius Randle has improved at the free throw line every year that he's been a pro. And like this is when people are knocking Lonzo Ball shooting, this is what I kind of come back to with Lonzo too, and where I kind of worry with Lonzo is he needs to improve at the free throw line before I start believing him as an actual shooter. And here I have so actually I take that back. Randle is the same that he's been his entire career at the free throw line.
Yeah, so.
Well, it's kind of weird. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I just think he is who he is as a shooter at this point.
Where he's really improved is at his 2-point percentage. He went from 43 to 50.
He's gotten better at finishing around length.
Yeah. So that's
the leveraging his strength to like kind of negate that length, like getting into guys' chests so that he can get the ball over them.
The free throw shooting is legitimately surprising to me. I thought he was way better than that, but I guess
that's why. Hey, shouts back to the previous segment. That's why numbers are important.
Yeah, he's not. All right, that's it. Randall's going to suck forever. Take him, Dallas.
Okay, he's not going to. I mean, he's just probably never going to be a good shooter. He is who he is as a shooter. But still, that doesn't mean that he can't continue to get better. He can keep getting more consistent and better on defense. He probably won't get better than as a finisher, but he might like see small. You might see small upticks in his shooting, or he might get a little bit more better, a little bit better with his shot selection. He can still make improvement as a passer. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff.
Yeah, and even defensively, like Luke Walton told him in the game against Cleveland that he was the best one-on-one defender in the NBA, which brought an actual tear to my eye. And then, you know, he went out there and stopped LeBron at the rim and stopped people on the perimeter. And these are things
Luke Walton for Coach of the Year. He spoke it into existence.
I actually think Randle could legitimately get better. And if I were the Lakers, and here's where, you know, we get to how they can possibly keep Randle and add, you know, one or two superstars as they've wanted to. But the Lakers have to make it a priority. Like, it has to be heading into this season, I would have said it would be nice to keep Randle, you know, and it would be nice to continue to see this core grow together. But we're reaching that point now with how he's played that he is a priority. Like, the Lakers have to bring him back. You can't just let this dude walk as a free agent for nothing. And here's how they can do it. First and foremost, they can get rid of Dang's contract, and doing so without taking any money back is going to be damn near impossible. So it's a question of how much money can you take back, and can you then stretch that whatever contract you get back in return for Dang and see if you can get under the cap that way. The other thing, too, is the Lakers, because of that trade with Cleveland, they have that first rounder. And, yes, it currently resides, I believe, at like 18 or 19 right now. And it would be nice to be able to see if this front office can once again unearth gold from that part of the draft. But it comes back to, for me, do I think that the player that they take at that stage of the draft will be better than Julius Randle is right now and seems to be like what Julius Randle's trajectory could turn into?
Probably not.
I don't see that. I don't see that happening. Even as good as Kuzma has been and as fun a story as Kuzma is, he is, I, if you were to ask me which career arc I would probably take, I'd probably go with Randle.
Well, right now, Randall's shown more, so it's hard to not pick him.
Right.
Because with Kuzma, you're just projecting and guessing, whereas Randall's actually shown that he can be this good of a player.
Well, what's crazy is that Randall, I think, is either just – they're basically the same age.
But Kuzma just came into the NBA, so you'd think theoretically he has more growth to make just from being around NBA trainers and from, you know, adjusting to playing in the NBA. You'd think his – even though they're the same age, you'd think his room for improvement is a little bit more.
I don't know. So wait, how are you?
He doesn't have the condition. He hasn't been conditioned to play NBA basketball yet. Randall has been used to that. Like, Randall has gone up against NBA players before, so, and he's been in an NBA film room for 4 years. Like, there, Kuzma has improvements left to make that Randall has just already made.
Here's where I kind of.
I'm still take Randall. I'm just saying that, like, Kuzma probably still has a little bit. He has more improvements that he can make.
Here's where I kind of stray from that line of thinking is that one, growth isn't linear, right? And two, once you're Randall and you make the leap that he's made this year and you're rewarded for making that leap by multiple podcasts like this, people around the league talking about, you know, Julius Randall it could be a star in the making, blah, 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 blah. Right. Once you're rewarded with the stuff that Randall has seen from his game this year, it becomes a little easier to theoretically. It becomes a little easier to put in that work and continue to put in that work, off season out and night in, night out, whatever it takes. Whereas, like with Kuzma, we need to see what that work ethic in the off season might turn into. Now, nothing to this point has done anything to lead anybody to believe anything other than this kid does work hard. He does eat and sleep and breathe the game. But we've seen this improvement from Randall, and we haven't seen this improvement from Kuzma. And it's hard for me to just go out there and expect that type of improvement from Kuzma when we haven't seen it yet.
No, and I'm not saying that he could, that you should expect it. I'm just saying it's theoretically there.
Yeah,
There are yes. More things left that he can improve on than Randall has things left to improve on.
Right, but it's the improvement is there theoretically with Kuzma.
It's all theoretical.
It's
and
there
that's why in, I would still take Randall right now.
It's there in practice. It's tangibly there with Randall.
Yes.
So the other thing, too, here regarding what Randall or why the Lakers should bring Randall back is his fit with the guys who they're looking to bring in. Like, it's if he is this, you know, small ball five who can switch like crazy, who can get in out in transition, who can finish really well around the rim, who better? Like, that's the pairing with LeBron or with Paul George is amazing. Like, we got into this a little bit last night on the show, but it's an incredible pairing of talent. And it's just all these stars are lining up to point you in a direction where you say this guy in a vacuum is worthy of being a priority in the offseason. And in terms of the team concept that the Lakers are currently building, he is worthy of being a priority in the offseason. There's just no reason at this point, after seeing what we've seen from Randall, that anybody should walk away with any other conclusion than, yeah, the Lakers have to bring this guy back.
Yeah, I think everybody around the team, everybody that follows the team closely, has come to that conclusion. Unless they cannot do that and still bring in the two stars. I would prioritize LeBron and Paul George over Randall still.
Yeah,
aren't very many other free agents that I would. So in the very likely event that the Lakers do not sign both of those guys, Randall should be brought back.
Yeah.
I think that's the only scenario where it's excusable to say, okay, well, they just couldn't bring back Randall.
I'll ask it to you another way then, too. So we've already agreed that the Lakers should probably include, if need be, their Cleveland pick with Deng to get rid of that contract if it means keeping Randall, right? How far up the ladder of assets that the Lakers currently have would you go with that same line of thinking? Would you attach Kuzma? Would you attach Hart? Would you attach Thomas Bryant, Zubac?
To get rid of Deng's deal?
Yeah. And well, I think only if it means this allows you to keep Randall. And
I wouldn't include Kuzma. I would include Hart is probably the highest I'd go.
Yeah, I would probably agree. And that would be a tough one. It would be tough to see.
Because I would have Hart over whatever first round pick the Lakers have from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Just because even though it's going to be in the same range, it's hard to just expect that player to be as good as Hart. They might be. The Lakers have had a lot of success there, but
right. And you know, just to be clear, that would mean that you would be okay with attaching like Bryant.
Yes.
And you would be okay with attaching Zubats.
Get out.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in for yesterday's show. If you haven't caught that, that's on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at Ivica Zubats fan account. It's crazy how I'm keeping up with all of the changes that you're making to your Twitter profile. It's pretty
wild.
I'm impressed with myself.
Me too.
Have a good one, everybody.